Now, we didn't have opportunity to tell you what we'd be doing today, so I can't really hold you responsible for reading. But in case you did read, we're in John chapter 8 this morning. And hopefully we'll be in John chapter 10 next time. In fact, the next two I Ams are in John chapter 10. Let me put this on the screen. You've all seen this before, but just as a reminder of where we're going and what we're going to be doing. We finished up on the bread of life last time, and now we come to the second of these, and as you can see, and as you probably have all known before, there are seven of these, seven I Ams of the Lord, in which he expressed himself by certain figures of speech. He's the bread of life, he's the light of the world, he's the door, he's the good shepherd, he has the resurrection and the life. We touched upon that when we were talking about the miracles. That's what the Lord said when he was talking to Martha. And then he's the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 and John 15, he is the true vine. So these are really wonderful studies, and contain a lot of wonderful truth for us. Now, you can also see, I don't know, I didn't put the other references on, but if you'll turn to the next chapter, chapter 9, you'll find that the Lord referred to this again in verse 5. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then over three more chapters into chapter 12 and verse 46 it is, where the Lord said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And there's several other passages that I want you to look at with me, and I'll give you time to look at those. Let's turn to John chapter 1, which is perhaps one of the most familiar chapters are most familiar with in connection with light and darkness. And reading from verse 1, this is what we read. Excuse me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And here we don't, in verse 14, we don't have the word light, but we do have the word glory. The word became flesh. Verse 1 tells us what the Lord always has been, but verse 14 tells us what he became, was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So you can see that this subject of light and darkness goes back as far as creation. And then look at a second passage, and these are familiar passages in John chapter 3. And going down to verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So here again we have that reference. Now turn again to chapter 12. And these are the passages where it may be just a verse or two that refer to the Lord as the light, but they're all important and a part of this subject. Now in verse 35, Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. So the Lord Jesus, as the light of the world, is one of the major themes of the Gospel of John, as you can see from these references. Now, it's not difficult to see that light and darkness are used repeatedly in the Bible in contrast with each other. We actually have it in the first chapter of Genesis, where we have the record of original creation. And let's turn to that and look at how light figured into creation itself. Now we're told in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, and this is on the first day, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. Never as far as I know, called the darkness good. God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, day and night, it's interesting, and I suppose you've noticed this before, there was day and night before there was a sun or a moon or stars. All that came on the fourth day. But on the first day, he said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, I don't know how to explain that there was light before there was sun, except for the statement that we have in the book of the Revelation about light in the eternal state. And you'll find these words in chapter 22, the last chapter of the Bible, verse 5. There shall be no night there, and they shall need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. Now, evidently, the Lord was the light on the first day of creation, when God said it was good, and he also is to be the light forever in the eternal state. Now, light and darkness, as you might guess, have three different meanings in the Bible. Genesis 1, it actually describes for us the contrast between the beginning of the day and the end of the day and night. But these terms also, we could tell from our reading this morning, light means good, darkness means evil. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the darkness of the night figures into the darkness of sin. And yet there's a third meaning, and this is especially applicable to our lesson this morning. Light is often used to speak of knowledge or wisdom, and darkness to speak of ignorance, people that don't obtain the knowledge of the truth. So Paul actually linked creation with what God was doing when Christ came to replace the ignorance of God, which you naturally find among men since the first sin was committed and the coming of Christ into the world. Remember, in 2 Corinthians 4:6, you have this: for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So when the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world, among all of these different ways in which that expression is used, it indicates that he came to dispel the ignorance that there was concerning God and his ways. And so darkness means ignorance, and light means knowledge. And the knowledge is revealed knowledge. That is not knowledge that man can discover for himself. Psalm 119, 103, remember, says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. And in our chapter, chapter 8 of John, the Lord Jesus was speaking to Pharisees and scribes, religious men who undoubtedly had some knowledge of the scripture, but they were blind as to the true knowledge of God, and only in Christ do we have the true light of the knowledge of God. Now, the fact that light and darkness represent good and evil, or righteousness and sin, is brought out by Isaiah in several passages. I'll read one of those to you from Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Sounds like our generation, doesn't it? And put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now Paul had this to say to the believers in Ephesus, and I'm reading now from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 12. He says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Now let me give you another familiar passage from Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And he's writing, of course, to the people of God, and he says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people," it means a people for his own possession, "that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as pilgrims and strangers, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." Now, we were born in the darkness of sin. It's hard to realize when you see a little, sweet little baby, to realize that that's how they were born, and that the only answer to that is Christ. So we could say we were born the first time in the darkness of sin. We're born again into the light of Christ, into the light that Christ is. And we must always keep up our guard against sin. The Apostle John said in 1 John 1, 5 through 7, "This is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Now it's used, God is righteous, God is holy, in him there's no touch of sin. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. So you can see that light and darkness are a major part of what we have in Scripture. We're born in darkness, we're born in sin, and can only be changed by the power of the gospel as we're brought to the light and to Christ, who is the light, and into the light that he has given to us from the Word. So this is it's a very important theme, and it runs through the Word of God. And let's go back now to our text in John chapter 8 and verse 12, where the Lord Jesus made this declaration in the presence of these Jews. Now they had, seems like wherever the Lord went, there were some Pharisees there trying to catch him in something that he said, argued with him about his teaching. But he's been You know, there's some question about the first part of chapter 8 as to whether or not it belongs in Scripture. A great Bible teacher like J.C. Ryle believed that it was a part of the original Scripture. But you can see, and if you look back before chapter 8 to chapter 7, in verse 45, the chief priests and the Pharisees had sent officers to arrest the Lord, and they said in verse 45, "Why have you not brought him?" The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Then answered the Pharisees, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed." And then we have the second reference to Nicodemus when he spoke somewhat to the Lord's defense. It says, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." Every man went his way to his own house. And in chapter 8, just skipping the first four first 11 verses, we have our text in verse 12. "Then spake Jesus unto them." Now there were obviously must have been people around, but the Lord was addressing these Pharisees and scribes, these religious leaders, the men who are often referred to as the Jews, and they're referred to as the Jews in this eighth chapter of John. But he's speaking to them. Others may be listening, but he is speaking to them when he says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, as I explained to you, I think I probably went into it more in detail last week when most of you weren't here, but when the Lord said, "I am," he could have just used the verb, eimi, in Greek is "I am." But if you add the preposition to it, the Greek word for "I," you have ego, eimi, and that's an intensive form, which means that I am the light of the world. I am the only light of the world. I have always been the light of the world. I never will cease to be the light of the world. So the Lord, in making this statement, was not saying I'm just one of many lights, but I am the light of the world. "And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And, of course, his words mean that if you don't follow me, if you don't believe in me, if you don't trust in me, then you won't have the light of life. And, of course, that's truth that we're all familiar with and certainly do believe with all of our hearts. So there's no other who can claim that title, and there never will be anybody else who can claim that title. Again, quoting the Apostle Paul, he said in Ephesians again, in Ephesians 5, 13 and 14, "All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." The psalmist said in Psalm 36, verse 9, "For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light." And so in speaking even in the Old Testament, we see this emphasis upon the fact that the members of the Godhead are light. The Lord Jesus is the light of the world because he's the one who became incarnate, came as the Son of God without any change in his deity, that he is came as the light of the world. And it's important to see that he's not just light for Israel, though that's what his ministry was when he was here on earth, but he is the light of the world. And so that doesn't mean that everybody in the world is going to be saved, but it does mean that wherever people are, whatever the color of their skin, whatever the language they speak, whatever nation they come from, there's only one who is the light. And that's the reason that we are commissioned to carry the gospel to every creature on the face of the earth. Nobody will ever get to heaven. No one will ever have their sins forgiven except through Christ. In every nation, whatever the language is, Christ is their only hope. And that is why the Lord gave his disciples that exhortation just before he ascended back to the Father. Acts 1:8, he said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea." Notice how this gradually spreads out. "And in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So our Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior that there is. So that's the reason that we need to see that the Lord here was not speaking directly to his disciples and not speaking directly to the multitude of people, but it was to his enemies. And he recognized them as his enemies, and they made no bones about that. He was speaking to these religious men who were supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the Jews and declaring to them that he and he alone was the light of the world. And so you can see in this that the Lord was dealing with these men. I think it shows how we need to minister to people in the world. The Lord knew that their minds and hearts were closed to the truth, but he spoke to them as though he expected, from a human standpoint, we would say, expected that his message would be received. But their minds and hearts were closed. While they claimed to have the light, they were living in darkness. They were blind leaders of the blind. But the Lord ministered the truth to them and pointing out to them just exactly what the gospel is. Now we read in verse 30 of chapter 8 that many believed on him. Now, these may be people who were listening to him. I don't think that there was any great movement among the chief priests and the Pharisees that the Lord was talking to, but it does seem that the Lord did not see any of the Jews, speaking of those who were religious leaders in Israel, he didn't see any of them at this point believe on him. But we do have Nicodemus speaking out in his behalf at the end of chapter 7, as I read that passage to you just a moment ago. So it may be that, in fact, it's thought by most commentators that the Jews had gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. And one of the official parts of the Feast of the Tabernacle was the lighting of the candelabra. And that may have been what prompted the Lord to declare at this time that he was the light of the world. Light was something that they were all concerned about at the time. And actually, the Lord wouldn't have needed any particular emphasis to have prompted him to speak, but he was and continued to be God, and so he knew what was in the hearts of these Jewish leaders. And one thing is certain, that although they were religious leaders of the Jews, they were still in darkness. Just because a man is a pastor of a church doesn't mean that he's in the light, because many are spreaders of darkness. And that was the case with these as you go through this particular chapter. Their ignorance of the truth was very apparent, but the Lord spoke of that which is true and truth. And let me just call your attention to some of those expressions. In verse 14, when they said, "Thou bearest a record of thyself, thy record is not true," Jesus said, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came or whither I go." And then in verse 16, "Yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me." And then in verse 26, "I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." And then in verse 32, he says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And in verse 40, he said, "But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." That is, Abraham didn't want to kill God because of the truth. Verse 44, "You of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Verse 45, "Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." Verse 46, "Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" And then verse 58 was the supreme claim that the Lord Jesus made. And you notice here again, he used those words, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, amen, amen. I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And here again, it's ego, eimi, I am. "Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Now, it would seem that any Jew who had been familiar with the Old Testament would have recognized that our Lord's claim showed him to be the promised Messiah. And I want to read to you from Isaiah chapter 42. You don't need to turn there. The verses are 6, 7, and 8. "Where the Lord said, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So he'd come to give light, not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And then in Isaiah 49:6, we have essentially the same thing. He said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." Now, when we think of that expression in verse 12, that the one who follows the Lord shall have the light of life, it is interesting to contrast this with John's statement concerning our Lord in John 1:4, where it says, "His life was the light." Believers come to the light first, and then they live the life. But the Lord is the light, and manifested by his life that his claims concerning his relationship to God was true. This chapter is clear evidence of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't plan to take it up verse by verse, but I want to survey it quickly so that we can see the things that the Lord talked to these Pharisees about unsuccessfully from a human standpoint. Because there's no record that any of them actually turned to the Lord. But he gave them the truth. He gave them the truth. Spoke honestly about his relationship with God. And it's a very, very important message. We're to give the truth to people who do not have the ability to understand it. But we do it like the Lord Jesus did, trusting the Father or trusting the Holy Spirit, however you want to express it, to give people understanding that they needed in order to believe and to be saved. Now, there's power in the Word of God, and that's illustrated by the way the Lord used it and spoke of himself and spoke of the Father and spoke of the people and their need, even though addressing these religious leaders and said, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word." That is, they heard what he was saying, but they didn't get it. And then he said, "You're of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So you can see the object of the devil is to keep people in the darkness. And the purpose of the gospel is to bring the light to them, and that the entrance of the Word gives light. That's one reason I think it's very important for us to give people the light. It's important for me when I stand before you to give you as much scripture as I can, because that's what the Lord uses. And we come to a greater understanding of the Lord and of his Word when we are exposed to the Word of God itself. They questioned his authority, and they looked upon him as just a human being, because he stood before them as a human being. And so they weren't able to profit and appreciate the things that he had to say. Now, he was teaching what they were not prepared to receive and incapable of understanding. But he gave them the truth anyway. And that's an important thing for us to remember. We are to give the truth to people, even though they don't have the ability to understand it, trusting that the Lord will move upon their hearts, if that's his will to do so, and enable them to see what they need to see in order to come out of darkness into light. Now, we need to remember, as I've emphasized, I guess, on Sunday morning, that a text without a context is a pretext, or can be a pretext. A pretext, when we're speaking of the Scriptures, is to arrive at a false meaning of Scripture. Some people say you can make the Scripture say anything that you want it to say. You can if you isolate verses from the passage or the chapter or the book in which it is found, or in the greater sense, if you lift it out of the Bible entirely and isolate it from the whole teaching of Scripture. So what the Lord did was teaching the Pharisees the truth about himself and the truth about the Father and truth even about Abraham that they didn't really understand. Now, notice as you get into this, they question his authority to speak the way he did. And that's the first thing that came up. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And of course, he's talking about spiritual life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Now, what did they mean? Well, they meant you are claiming to be the light of the world. And are we supposed to believe that just because you say that it's true? And so they had in mind that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing could be declared true. But notice the way he answers this. Verse 14. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. You judge after the flesh. That is, you see me as a human being. I judge no man. Now that is, he's saying, I didn't come to judge. He's come to give life and to expose people to the light. Yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone, I and the Father that sent, but I and the Father sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. And they said unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. That applies to the end of the chapter where they took up stones to stone him, and the Lord just disappeared out of the crowd and went his way, and were not able to do what they wanted to do. But he said, I go my, verse 21, Jesus said unto them, I go my way, and you seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, now here it's used officially, the Jews, the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes, will he kill himself because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? He said to them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, and here he's emphasizing the fact that he's the light of the world, ye shall die in your sins. Notice how authoritatively the Lord Jesus spoke. They questioned his authority. He said God was his witness as well as bearing testimony himself. And they said unto him, who art thou? Verse 25, Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted me up, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. He wasn't here working independently of the Father, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And then, as he spake these words, there were those who trusted in him. Now, we can't tell really from the text who they were, but the Lord said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So they were not only still in their sin, but they were in bondage to their sin, and that's the reason they had no place for Jesus Christ and listening to the things that he had to say. But then the main point in their argument, I need to hurry, says, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. Now, at the very time they spoke this, to show the extent of their blindness, they were in bondage to Rome. And they were looking for a Messiah who would come and deliver them from Rome. But they said, we've never been in bondage to anyone. They forgot about Egypt. They forgot all of their history. How then, how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And the Lord said, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is one of three times that he uses that verily, verily, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. As the reason people sin is because they're in bondage to sin. And nobody can break that bondage except the Lord. So he said, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That is truly free. This is what real freedom is. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize who he is and experience his transforming grace, that's the way people are set free from the bondage of sin. Now the Lord said in verse 37, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't turn his back on the truth. Yeah, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself. That is, I didn't take on this mission independently, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You have your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore that hear them not, because you're not of God. Answered the Jews and said unto him, said we not that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? And the Lord answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall not see death. Then they got into Abraham again and said that, well, he's dead and the prophets are dead. How can you say that if a man keep my saying, he will never see death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets, which are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? And the Lord said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And the Jews, they thought they had caught him. They said, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And then Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, that is, before Abraham was born, I am. Ego eimi. And they took up stones to cast at him, and Jesus hid himself, went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And you know, it wasn't popular in those days, and it's not popular today. There are many people who would like to silence our message when we say that the Lord Jesus is the light of the world, and that he that followeth Christ shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Lord was saying, as I've mentioned to you this morning, the meaning of the I am. I'm the light of the world. I always have been the light of the world. I always will be the light of the world. And there is no other person who can make that claim. I am the light, not a light, but the light. And the one, as he says here in verse 12, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We have a wonderful Savior, don't we? And he's the only one who can possibly take men out of the darkness of sin and out of their ignorance and bring them into a living relationship with God our Father and with himself, so that we're freed not only from the penalty of sin, but we're freed forever from the bondage of sin. If the Son shall make you free, then you shall be free indeed. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful chapter and all that the Lord Jesus said to these Jewish leaders in an attempt to get them to see the light. We know that just because people hear the Bible is no indication that they really understand what they're hearing, that the truth of the Word of God is impressed upon their hearts. So how grateful we are this morning when we read a chapter like this, that you have given us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to understand. We don't understand all that we'd like to understand, but you have caused us to understand that we needed a Savior. We're sinners under your judgment, that Jesus Christ came to lay down his life as a sacrifice for our sins, that we might be forgiven and have the gift of eternal life. We know the light of life, and we thank you, Father, that today we are rejoicing in the wonderful hope that we have in Christ. Thank you that your word is still a word of power. And we pray that we may be faithful in spreading that word, trusting you to use the word that comes from our lips, that others might be the recipients of your grace and really understand what we're talking about when we say that the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Bless this word to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.